Every gift is needed. We don't want any gift to be underemployed or unemployed because we're not using it. And if you have a gift that God has given you, and you do, you want to bring that gift and let God use that gift for His purpose. We can't all do the same thing well because we all have different gifts. I have a gift, you have a gift, and I should do well what I'm gifted in.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World broadcast. It was the Apostle Paul who said, "We are fellow workers alongside God." And it was he who also said that we are God's ambassadors. There's no better time than now to allow God to work through your life to reach others for the cause of Christ. Come and go with us as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
I want to talk about working with God. Now, we've spent some time talking about our calling. We've said that all are called that are saved. Everyone who is saved. In fact, in the scriptures, when we see the reference to being called, we're talking about being called unto salvation. And then as we are called unto salvation, we all have an assignment. We also said that when we are called, we should be working and watching what God is doing around us. God is always doing something around us. We will only see it when we are sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we are also watching. We said we have to adjust our lives to the calling that we have received. We are not going to do what God called us to do if we are so busy that we will not render ourselves to Him so that He can work through us. So the formula for productivity and producing fruit in the kingdom is our availability plus God's power. Our availability and God's power will produce fruit for the kingdom. We don't have to produce it. It'll be produced by the power of God. And then we said about our calling, God uses ordinary believers. The calling is not just for the pastors or the ordained ministers or the prophet or the evangelist. It's for every one of us. He has a purpose in mind. So with that in mind, we want to take a look at the message Paul gave to the church at Corinth about their work with the Lord. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe as God has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. If you have the King James, it said, but God brought the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul gave this message to the church as he's talking about the division that was in the church at the beginning of chapter 3. And he talks about them being divided and the dissension that is in the church regarding the church leaders. Some of them said, I like Paul. Others says, I like Apollos. Some says, I like one's preacher's style and his delivery. Another one said, I don't like him that much. I like this other preacher. And it got to the point where people start having favorites and started having dissensions and divisions among the church. Now, it's not a problem with you having your favorite preacher. It's a problem when you don't come to church until your favorite preacher's preaching. and you don't want to hear nobody but your favorite preacher. That's when there's a problem. You know, we have preachers that we like and ministers that we like, but when you start having an issue with other ones because he's not yours, then that's a problem. You got the problem. And that's what it began to happen in the church. They started having their favorites, and maybe they didn't want to come to church when Apollos was preaching because I've liked Paul. And Paul went on to challenge them then to prioritize their energy and their efforts to put God's business first. He said, all that effort and all that energy you all are exerting, talking about who's the greatest and who you like and all of those kinds of things, let's put that energy to use for the kingdom of God. And you have to do that by refocusing your attention and refocusing your priority. If you've got problems with somebody in the church that you're working with, focus your priority on God's priority. Don't start focusing on who you got an issue with. And you will have some issues with people when you're working and laboring together. If you ever want the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in your life, start serving with other folks in the church. That's where patience comes in. That's where gentleness comes in. That's when you have to back up and give up a little bit. That's where long-suffering comes in when you're working with others in the church. You don't need long-suffering when it's just you. And you stand at home watching your TV preacher, you don't need long-suffering because you're happy with you. You need long-suffering when somebody says something to you that you don't like. And that's just the fruit of the Spirit being produced in your life. But don't you know that God wants us to do more than come to church and have church? He says, I saved you and I brought you into the kingdom for a purpose. When our attention is focused on God, there's not going to be a lot of time for division and strife. When God is your primary priority and you're seeking first his kingdom, you don't have time to fool around with it. Somebody mentioned to me not long ago, says, there's a lot of gossiping in the church. I said, who you hang with? Because I don't hear any. And if you're hearing some, that means that you are open to it. When you are not open to it, then nobody bring you any. And the way that you stop that is when somebody start telling you something, say, hold on, before you finish, whoever you're talking about, I'm going to call them as soon as we finish and tell them exactly what you said. You say that. Nobody bring you anything else. Just say, I want to tell you. Yes, I want to hear it, but I'm going to call them as soon as you finish, and I'm going to tell them exactly what you said. See if they'll continue. They'll start off, now, you know, I don't want to be talking about nobody. Then you can say, well, don't. Because that's not going to be anything good. People don't say that when they're getting ready to say something good about somebody. They don't say, I don't want you to share this, but I want to tell you something. They're such a wonderful person. They don't say that. So whenever they start prefacing their remarks with, I don't want to just, you know, I ain't trying to be no hater, but. When your attention is on the things of God and God is a priority and the kingdom of God is a priority, you're not going to have all that other stuff going on in your life. When our attention is on God, it cannot be just on the church leaders and the people in the church. It's on God. Paul and Apollos were simply servants through whom you came to believe. That's what that passage says. Let's look at that passage again. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. With whom you came to believe. They are instruments. They are not the source of your salvation. They are the instruments that God used to bring you to salvation. So don't put them so high on a pedestal that you start worshiping the ministers and the preachers and the pastors and the bishops and the apostles and the prophets, that you'll start worshiping them, because we are only instruments that God wants to use to bring you to himself. That's all. We're just servants. And all Christians whom God has called are his servants. Look at verse 6 again. Paul indicates that we're the servants that the Lord has called, and he said that the Lord has assigned to each his task. God has assigned to each one of us his task. So that scripture tells us that we all have an assignment. God has assigned to us his task. In other words, it's written out and it's already determined and it's already been labeled and it's got your name on it in an envelope. This is your task. And whether we do it or not doesn't have anything to do with whether it's been assigned to us or not. We have been assigned this task. I used to watch this television program called Mission Impossible. And he used to go and get this little envelope and this little package. And in that package was the mission. And he said, if you choose to accept it. So we all have a package with a mission in it. And God has assigned. Come on, everybody say, he's assigned a task. He's assigned a task. And the scriptures tell us that we were all given gifts as the Holy Spirit determines. And we were given those gifts because we've been assigned a task. And in the church sometimes we think our task is just coming to church. We think our task is just singing in the choir. But that's not the task that God is referring to here. He has a task for us to work and co-labor alongside of him to reach people for the kingdom. Now, Paul is telling them that we all have an assignment. That means that I do not have to be concerned with what you have to do in the kingdom. Because you have an assignment and I have an assignment. And so I don't have to be envious of what your assignment is. I just need to be focused on what mine is. And the only time I'm going to be focused on yours and envious, that's if I'm doing nothing. And you're doing something. So if you're doing something, I should be doing something. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And look what it says. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's a race there. In other words, when he's using the analogy of runners, there's a lane that you have that you need to run in. It's been marked out for you already when you came to the Lord. He marked out a lane. He put you in that lane and you're running your lane. And you shouldn't be looking and trying to see what I'm doing in my lane. Just stay in your lane and run your race. Every one of us has a race that has been marked out for us to run in. And we're not going to be satisfied. We're not going to be fulfilled until we are doing and providing and producing in the lane that God has called us to run in. So it's time for us to get over having these special gifts and anointings in the church that somebody else have that I want that anointing. The only anointing you ought to want is the one that God have for you in your lane. So I can't be envious of somebody else just because they can preach a certain way or sing a certain way or they have this gift. God gave them that gift and I thank God for that gift in the body of Christ. And I should be saying, let me use mine to come alongside of that. Because there are going to be some things that that person can't do in the kingdom. We will know what is marked out for us as we spend time with the Lord and seek first his kingdom. Jesus told us to do that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you want to know your lane that's marked out for you, there are some things that you need to do basically. Number one, I need to be obedient to the word of God. I need to get into the word and be obedient to the word of God I know. I need to yield myself to the Lord and to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. As I do that, what God has in store for me is going to unfold in front of me. So as we respond in obedience and yield to the presence of the Holy Spirit, God will unfold his plan and purpose for us. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the mind what God has in store for those who love him, but he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Then Paul uses the analogy of farming, and he said, I planted, Apollos watered. Let's talk about that for a minute. He said, I planted. This shows that while we may work independently, we are all doing our part to produce fruit for the kingdom. I planted, he watered it. If the plant don't have no water, it ain't gonna grow. You can water the ground with no plants in it, and it ain't gonna grow. So one plant, another one watered. We do not need a one-dimensional approach where everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody don't have to be the planter and the waterer, and somebody gonna have to pull the weeds. But if it's gonna grow in the kingdom, every gift is needed. Somebody say every gift. Every gift is needed. We don't want any gift to be underemployed or unemployed because we're not using it. And if you have a gift that God has given you, and you do, you want to bring that gift and let God use that gift for his purpose. We don't need this one-dimensional approach. We can't all do the same thing well because we all have different gifts. We can't all do the same thing well because we all have different gifts. I have a gift, you have a gift, and I should do well what I'm gifted in. Now, some are best at planting because of their gifting. But every believer can plant. But every believer is not gifted to plant. But every believer can plant. It's like this. I can get some seeds and some seedlings, and I can go out and plant a little garden. But with my gifting, I'm going to be as excited as anybody if something grows. I'm going to say, I got one or two tomatoes. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I'm not going to go out there and look at it every day and tend to it. But that's going to be different from Elder Jenkins. He come to church all the time. Look what I grow. So I can plant, but he can plant. But I'm not as gifted. And then somebody else can be a farmer and grow a whole lot more. But they have that gifting to do that and that aptitude and that desire to do it just like that. But yeah, I can make something grow. I can get a couple of beans and put them in a cup and grow a little, and it'll grow. So everybody can plant. Everybody can share their faith with somebody. Everybody can say, Jesus loves you. Everybody can tell somebody the good news, but there are others who are really gifted at just sharing at the spur of a moment, and they're gifted. You may not be gifted like that, but it don't mean you can't do nothing. And then that person who plants may not be as gifted as watering, as encouraging, as filling in, as sharing, as putting some water on what has already been planted. In other words, God is saying there is a process to reaching people. There's a planting, there's a watering, and there's an increase. Sometimes when you talk to a person, you might be the first one that's sharing with him. You're planting at that time. Some other time, you're watering. Some other times you're going to be there when the increase comes. And you haven't said very much at all. You just said, Jesus love you. They're going to start crying and say, oh, I need the Lord. You're going to say, ooh, I got the evangelistic anointing. No, you just was there when the increase came. Somebody ran up to me and said, what must I do to be saved? You're going to think you were just like Peter. Oh, I got the, it must be the, my shadow. They got in my, no, don't worry about that. You was there when the increase came. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Each one should use. Somebody say use. Listen, those gifts are not going to do any good for anybody if they're not used. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. Each one should use whatever gift you have received. And if you don't know, say, Lord, whatever I received, I want to use it. To serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. Administering God's grace. In its various forms. We're administering the grace of God. Let the grace of God work through you in those gifts. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Always remember that God, whatever you come out of this gift, you should get the glory. I'm not trying to have the glory. I'm not trying to establish something. I'm not trying to call it something. And so sometimes as soon as God moved through us, we want to go get us some cards printed up and open up us a ministry. Get us a storefront. And God is saying, no, wait a minute. You're trying to do something on your own. Just let me do what I want to do. You don't have to try to make it happen. God will work through you if you will give him the glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. They'll see what you're doing and say, I know that's God working. The key to our productivity is this. It is God who gives the increase. That's what Paul says. It is God who gives the increase. It is God who is the Lord of the harvest. It is God who is drawing men and women to himself. It is God who sent his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but shall have everlasting life. It is God who has a place in heaven for those who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. It is God who is working in the lives of people. And if God's not working in the lives of people, there's going to be no productivity no matter what we do. Did you get that? No matter what we do, if God ain't working in his life to draw him, no matter what we do, there's not going to be any productivity. God needs somebody to plant, somebody to water, so he can get the increase. Look at verse 8 in our text. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. The laborers have one purpose. We're all working together. Notice they were in a field. One is planting, one is watering, but we're all working together. So we're not working against each other. We're working with each other, even though we may not be doing the same thing. We're all out there in the field to gather the harvest, and some people have to plant, some people have to water, some people have to cut down, some people have to gather, some people have to bundle, some people have to haul the harvest, some people, everybody's doing something different, but we're all working in the same vineyard. Sometimes in the church, we never consider this. He says, we will be rewarded. Each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Now, where do you think that labor is taking place that you're going to be rewarded for? Or let me ask it this way. What labor have you attended to in the church already that's labor that you might be rewarded for here? Each is going to be rewarded according to his own labor.
This is Jerry G. Martin. I certainly hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I've been bringing you a series of messages to encourage you and every believer to become engaged in the work of the ministry that God has called you to. God called no one just to sit back and wait until you can pass away and go to heaven. He saved us so that we can be engaged in reaching a lost world with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are a vital part of that ministry. I hope that this word has encouraged you to get up from where you are and allow God to help you to be the ambassador that he called you to be. I also want to give you an opportunity to come and join with us in our worship. You can meet us online every Sunday at 10 o'clock at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. We also have in-person services. We have our medical team screening those that arrive, and we have social distancing, and we ask everyone to wear their mask. If you're looking for a place where you can get connected, join us at the Light of the World. We meet each Sunday at 16161 Old Humble Road. For more information, or if you have a prayer request, call us at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393. Now, if you need Bibles, books, or study material, call us at the Beacon Bookstore on our campus, 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.